Hey mamas, I'm Alyssa, registered dietitian, picky eating specialist, and mama of two. You're listening to the Nutrition for Littles podcast, aimed at helping you raise healthy, independent eaters. Each week, we will tackle topics like picky eating, mealtime struggles, baby-led weaning, and so much more. Let's jump right into today's topic. Hey, 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 and welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you here. As you know, I'm on a summer theme, summer kick right now. We're having great weather. I know it's technically still spring, but it just feels like summer. If it doesn't feel like summer where you're at, I sincerely feel bad. I'm so sorry. I hope this doesn't give you any of the summer blues, but what I'm excited for is feeding kids in the summer. I think picky eating, like summer is just a really great time to work on picky eating. If you didn't catch my episode from last week, it's all about summer hacks and, you know, getting your kids interested in eating new foods in the summer and why I think it's such a great time to work on it. And today I thought we would kind of double down on that topic or that theme and talk about five mistakes that I see parents making in the summer, springy, even early fall months, you know, when the weather nice, all those things. I have kind of figured out a few mistakes that I see parents make in this season, in this time, that is easy to fall into some of those habits. And so I thought I would address those to kind of go along with this summer theme. So hopefully the weather holds out for me. It hasn't been rainy. We've been so excited being in Colorado in the summer. Last summer, if you're around, you knew that we traveled a lot last summer. So I didn't get to experience the full throttle of Colorado summer. So I'm so excited to kind of hop into the season with you. And I think this is kind of a fun way to do it. So of course, parenting is hard. Of course, we're all doing our best. Of course, you have a lot on your plate. So when I say parenting mistakes, when I say mistakes that parents make, this is not a personal attack, okay? This is, I understand. Everyone has capacity. I'm making mistakes all the time. Everyone's making mistakes. It's just things that I know we could be doing differently or avoiding altogether or whatever that might be. And so I just like to bring them to your attention. This is in no way saying that you're doing everything wrong. In fact, I always love to say, as long as you're feeding them, you're doing it right. Everything else on top of that is the cherry on top, moving them in a different direction as we have capacity, as we have time, right? So just keeping that in mind as we talk through these. Okay. So the first quote unquote mistake that I see a lot of parents make that I fall into myself, especially in summertime, is having snacks around all the time, always within reach. They're on the counter, they're on the table, the kids take them into the playroom, they're having them outside. I don't know about your neighborhood, but our kids are popping around to different people's houses, having snacks at their house. They literally, we were joking the other day, that they kind of like pop between houses for snacks. They're just like, great, we went to this house, had a snack, now we're gonna go to this house, have a snack. They're having like progressive snack time in our neighborhood. And so while I understand that this is like peak childhood summer, if you're struggling with a picky eater, having snacks available at all times, no matter what, especially the type of snacks that are easy just to set out on the table, like crackers or pretzels or chips or things of that nature, like Goldfish, whatever that might be, are typically the snacks that keep them satisfied enough to not get hungry, but not full, and certainly typically not full of nutrition. Not always. I'm not in your home. Who knows? Maybe you have a beautiful arrangement of nectarines and plums and cherries and vegetables and cheese and all the things. And if you do, that's amazing. But typically we see that more of the shelf stable, more processed foods get left out on the table, get kind of thrown around, tossed around really easily. So if you're new around here, you may not, maybe you're surprised to hear me say this, probably not, but a meal and snack rhythm, routine, schedule type of situation in your home is going to be the best approach for picky eaters. And so having food available all the time leads to grazing, and grazing increases pickiness. This is shown throughout the research. This is shown with the thousands of families that I've worked with to be true for most families. So when we let them graze, although it might look or appear like they're eating more, in reality, it's actually making picky eating worse, not better. So that's number one mistake that happens to come up around a summer. I know it's easy to do. We get in that cycle really easily as well. So I totally get it. All right. The next one is that parents, you know, freak out about messes. Now, if you've been around for a while, you know that I love messy food exploration, play, experiences, even not related to food. I think it's so, so important for our kids to get messy, to enjoy the sticky fingers that come along with popsicles or smoothies or running through the mud and having mud between their toes. This is really important sensory exploration for our kids, not just in picky eating, but also in their development. So, you know, summer comes with messes. It comes with constantly being wet, running through the house without a towel, wet from the sprinkler, whatever that might be. But those sensory experiences are super important, especially when it comes with food. So the other day I was feeding my kids and my nieces and nephew watermelon, and I had cubed them up in cute little cubes. I thought they were nice and easy to grab and eat, but the kids wanted quote unquote real watermelon. And so what I figured out that they meant was they wanted it cut into slices, you know, like picture old school 1990s watermelon slice, rind on, black seeds, the full shebang, right? But of course, with that comes mess, sticky fingers, sticky faces, like watermelon juice dripping down their face, all of these things. And a lot of times parents are trying to cultivate the right experience that's less messy because, of course, we always feel like this lands on our lap and we don't have time to clean up yet again another mess. And while I totally understand that, I also, from a registered dietitian approach, from a picky eating dietitian approach, know that those messes are so pivotal for getting our kids to be more adventurous with food. So let them get messy, especially in the summer when you can literally hose them off in the backyard. This is a perfect time to let them make a mess. All right, mistake number three is the special treats all the time, right? So we have constant influx of popsicles and ice cream and events where there's desserts and sweets all the time, right? Maybe even more candy than normal, birthday parties, who knows, all the things. If your neighborhood's like Mars, you have the ice cream man come by once a day, which he's doing his job. I get it, but it's also constant. And again, this can really have us leading to a place where our kids are getting excess sugar, filling up their bellies with those sweet foods. And while I have nothing against a good, delicious sweet treat here and there, desserts, those sorts of things, I also think that when they're super approachable, super like in their face all the time, it can just lead us down to a route, especially dealing with picky eaters, where they have very strong preferences towards those foods. Even things like easy sugared cereals that we might pull out for an easy breakfast, things like that can have easy swaps to have. Now, there's not a perfect solution to this, but it's just being mindful of making a dessert something that you maybe make together or enjoy together, make it more of an event rather than just accessible all the time whenever they want, pick up and grab a popsicle. There's a balance here for sure, right? We want to make sure that we're not idolizing these foods or keeping them super locked up and super special and out of reach while also not just letting them have them whenever they want, right? So it's really about avoiding those power struggles and avoiding having them have full access to all these sweets all the time that might come along with summer. Okay, the third mistake is all around all of the parties or events, the barbecues, those sorts of things. You know, kids, as we know, often really thrive in structure and routine, sitting at the table if you can, having regular meals and snacks. But with summer comes eating outside or comes birthday parties or barbecues or traveling. You know, they're outside their normal routine with school or preschool perhaps, or there's more long weekends, more road trips, any of those sorts of things, right? And so with that comes this understanding from parents that food might look different. And I think the mistake that parents make is trying to either hold too tightly to the schedule where they're saying no to things because my kid needs to eat at the table at 3 o'clock. Otherwise, there's going to be a hangry meltdown at bedtime or whatever that might be, or too loosely where it's like, oh, they'll just eat at the party. They'll just eat at the carnival. They'll just eat at the theme park. They'll just eat on the road, whatever that might be. And then we're not actually creating that same rhythmic cycle. So we want to have this rhythm that's, yes, easy flow, easy goes, all these things. And, you know, we don't want to hold too strictly to it, but we do want to make sure our kids are getting ample opportunity to eat. So if you have a party coming up, one of my favorite tips and tricks for having success with a picky eater who maybe doesn't typically eat well on the go or at a party or when they're distracted or there's something fun going on, like we're going to the rodeo, it's like, oh, my kids are not going to eat well at the rodeo when they could just be watching the horse, right? So they're just going to be entranced by the horse and by the event. They're not necessarily going to sit down and be like, yes, I will eat my dinner. Thank you. They're not going to eat their, what is it that they usually get? Like a turkey leg, right? And so you want to be mindful of these big events. And I like to think of of those events, any food that's consumed at the event, the birthday party, the barbecue, the carnival, the rodeo, whatever, the road trip is bonus. Otherwise, you have these meals beforehand and maybe your schedule needs to kind of ebb and flow and change. But having a good balanced meal before these events, before these parties, that's where they get the bulk of their nutrition. And then anything that they actually eat at the event is what I consider bonus or like a bigger snack. Maybe it's supposed to be a meal, but it's more like a snack and it's just bonus in their nutrition. That's a really good mindset to have. Okay, mistake number four is ignoring hydration. It can be so easy, honestly, throughout the entire year, but especially in the summer when they're outside running around, to forget or forego hydration. And while I, as a kid, used to drink directly out of the hose, which I don't believe is recommended anymore, you know, it can be harder to get these water bottles in front of them, take them with them. They get left behind at practices or at friend's house or whatever that might be, but really paying attention to and focusing on hydration. So what we like to do in our home is always have water with meals and snacks, have a water next to their bed. I know some sleep experts are against that. So of course you have to pick your battles. But for us, I never want to restrict my kids from getting the hydration they need, even if it means they're up in the middle of the night going to the bathroom or up early to go to the bathroom or making a ton of stalls at night from going to sleep for going to the bathroom, whatever that might be, right? So having hydration easily accessible for your kids. Another great time to maximize hydration is in any sort of bath or shower, having them like really truly have a routine of bringing a water in with them to the bath, a water bottle, into the shower, whatever that might be, is a great way to practice hydration. Also in the car, our kids' cup holders are always stocked with their water bottles so they can drink while they're strapped in and in on the go is a great time to maximize that hydration, but making sure that hydration is not skipped. Okay. And the final mistake that I want to put in here, and this kind of feels like one of those moments where you're getting interviewed for a job and they're like, tell me about your flaws. And you're like, I say yes too much. I take on too much. I never miss a deadline. I never take a day off. You're like patting yourself on the back at the same time. But this kind of feels like a moment like that because while I don't mean for this to contradict everything I just said, I also want you to understand that one of the biggest mistakes that parents make around summer is that they don't fully embrace the season of summer. I want you to enjoy it. I want it to be easier. I want you to let go of a little more routines and rhythms. I want you to enjoy it more. I want you to get outside. Maybe you have more picnics outside. Maybe you are eating on the go more. Maybe you're saying yes to events more. Maybe you're staying up late a little more than normal, whatever it might be. You know, I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of you only have 18 summers because that's not true. I still spend the summers with my mom. But at the same time, I want you to truly enjoy these moments. And above all else, I know nutrition is important. I don't want your kids to be picky anymore. That's literally why I'm here to help you reverse it. And I know that there is truly power to enjoying your kids, enjoying popsicles with them out on the deck, enjoying a picnic down by the lake, enjoying a road trip with them, enjoying going out to a restaurant, enjoying them at a barbecue, enjoying showing them the new food, whatever it might be. Truly spend time in the summer to enjoy all that summer has to offer. And it's such a great leverage point or entry point into trying new foods. Summer brings a host of new flavors, new varieties, new experiences for your kids to enjoy new foods. So use those, leverage those, be there for those, spend that time with your kids. Make sure that you fully enjoy what summer has to offer. And I promise you, it does pay dividends with your picky eater when they have all these new experiences. They're getting more confident. They're trying new things. You know, their sensory systems being activated, all these things that can lead to actually decreased picky eating. So I really want to encourage you in that. And I hope you don't feel like that goes against everything I just said. There's a middle ground here. There's gray here too. Not being so rigid with our routine, but also not being totally flexible and having a rhythm and routine, but not, you know, setting a clock by it. It's really about moving with your kid within your family and building a family culture of fun and experiences. And summer is such a great time to do that. All right. I hope this episode was helpful for you. I can't wait to hear from you. If you haven't sent me a DM on Instagram, I'd love to chat with you and connect with you over there at Nutrition for Littles. And I will leave other links of different things that might be helpful for you on this picky eating reversal journey down below. And I can't wait to chat with you next week. The Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you're walking away with some tangible ways to bring peace to your mealtimes. And if you like this episode, please subscribe and tell all your mom friends. And as always, the best compliment you can give me is leaving a rating and written review, which also helps other mamas like you find this podcast too. You can find more from me on Instagram at Nutrition for Littles. Do you have a question you'd like me to answer on the podcast? Email me at Alyssa@nutritionforlittles.com. All right, until next time, mamas.